Chapter 5. Reproducibility. 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 Many people accept the idea that an oral approach like chronological Bible storying may be appropriate to initial evangelism. But they wonder whether a storying approach is viable for a sustained, indigenous-led church planting movement. Is it adequate for sustained discipleship among second, third, and successive generations, and for leadership development in the church? Those working in storying in face-to-face relational societies assert that not only is it a viable approach to meet these needs, it is the preferred approach to ensure reproducibility, and thus sustainability, in an emerging indigenous-led church. For a spiritual movement to be engaged, we must consciously choose strategies that oral learners can easily reproduce. We must constantly evaluate whether we are modeling the kind of disciples we want the learners to become. This is the most powerful form of discipling. Oral communicators learn best when they pattern themselves after those who led them to Christ. From our first contact with non-Christians, we are modeling how a Christian relates to non-Christians and seeks to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Thus, even our evangelism is, in this sense, a part of discipling. The first and most basic aspect of ensuring reproducibility in a storying approach is crafting and telling stories in a way that the hearers are able to readily learn and tell themselves, and thus effect a reproducing evangelism. This is why we place great importance on the live, natural telling of stories by mother-tongue storiers in the common situations where people communicate with one another. When the gospel is communicated to an oral learner in a way that shows dependence on a written or recorded presentation, it inhibits this reproducibility. A storier from Senegal reported,
"Recently, one of the oral learners told all of us the story of Cain and Abel. She was very accurate, animated, and told all of it from memory. She also led the discussion time with questions. The truly amazing part is that she had missed the previous week's lesson and had learned a story at midweek prayer meeting from another woman who had been present for the training. This oral learner had learned the story from one who had herself just learned the story and had learned to tell it. Some of the children who attended the study with them have prayed, 'Thank you that our mother is now able to teach us the Bible.'"
A similar case is reported among the Santal people of South Asia. Village literacy among this people group was found to be 0.08%. The Santal people have no written history and do not rely on written documents for evidence or credibility. They rely on what the elders have decided or what the elders say. A Christian outreach effort went to a Santal village and met Merendai, a man who had never been to school. They presented the gospel using oral methods, including stories, visual aids, dramas, songs, dances, and testimonies. Merendai trusted Christ and shared his testimony with his family, who also believed and were baptized. He then went to other relatives and shared his new faith with them, using many of the same oral methods. They also believed and were baptized. He then formed a team of believers, all oral communicators who went to neighboring villages using the same combination of stories, dramas, songs, and the like. People in those villages accepted Christ too. Those new believers formed their own teams, and they went yet to other villages, still using the same basic strategies that had been introduced in the beginning. Many Santal people believed, and they then formed their own outreach teams. The movement continues today among the Santal people. Other stories and case studies attest that discipling, church planting, and developing leaders are also effectively done by a storying approach. First, Consider a story that shows effective discipling within an oral storying approach. In a dusty village in southwestern Nigeria, Timothy serves faithfully as pastor of a young church consisting of Yoruba farmers and their families. 3 years into his pastorate, Timothy had the opportunity to attend a short course for pastors on chronological Bible storying. There he learned the ancient way of teaching that was new to him. He was encouraged to tell Bible stories in an accurate and interesting way, and then lead the group to retell the story, discuss its meaning, and relate the truths to their lives. Upon arriving home, Timothy decided that on the following Sunday, he would try out what he had learned. Because the conference leader had recommended telling Bible stories in chronological sequence, Timothy decided to begin with the story of the creation of spirit beings. He drew on several biblical passages to formulate this particular story, as had been illustrated in the short course. After asking them about their creation stories and getting no response, Timothy told the Yoruba creation story. He used that as a bridge to the biblical narration of the story of the creation of angelic beings. He presented it as a story, without explaining it or exhorting the group. Afterward, he asked for someone to retell the biblical story, and someone did. Then he asked them questions and led in a dialogue that helped them understand and apply the story.
It was thrilling to me that someone was able to tell the story and others made corrections. The people were eager to hear more of the stories. When they began to ask questions that were beyond the story, I did not answer their questions, but simply told them, "As I tell more stories, you will discover that yourself." I have come to understand that they are more open to ask questions with this method. Unlike when I was using the denominational Sunday school book, even the children were answering questions, so it is good for the children too. I have decided to train someone by sharing the story on Saturday with a person so that he or she can share with the children on Sunday. I also discovered, as I asked them questions and listened to their questions, that they were still holding on to their previous teachings of worshiping angels. To them, the angels are from heaven and can reach God better, so we can pass through them to God. This session has further taught me that they have not understood my topical sermons. It now gives me the opportunity to explain to them things on this issue which I did not normally preach on.
Timothy used the same approach the next Sunday, telling the story of the creation of the heavens and the earth. After the second storying session with them, he commented,
"Some of their questions during the session have made me understand that I have not understood many things from the Bible for these 3 years that I have been their pastor."
Timothy discovered several important lessons about making disciples. He realized that to effectively disciple, one must first determine how one's people learn. Although Timothy had pastored his people for 3 years, he had not been aware that his preaching style needed to match the people's learning style. They lived in a relational culture with a strong oral tradition. They passed on their history in stories and proverbs. Timothy became conscious of the fact that he was a literate pastor trained in literate teaching methods. The methods he had been taught to use worked well among people highly educated in Western schools, but they didn't work well in his situation. He decided to return to his cultural roots as well as model his preaching and teaching after the greatest teacher, Jesus. Before Timothy changed his teaching methods, he had been frustrated by his people's lack of response. He thought the problem was theirs, that perhaps they were not very intelligent. When Timothy changed his methods, the people responded and he discerned that he had been the problem because he had not been communicating effectively. He said, "I have learned to be patient with learners and not to condemn them rashly when they give some stupid answers that are not relevant to what we are discussing. This has encouraged most that didn't used to respond to questions to do so now. An oral storying approach can likewise be effective for church planting. A recent church planting movement took place in South Asia among a highly oral people. The oral peoples consisted of various scheduled castes, some of whom were animists while others were of Hindu religious background. From 1997 to 2003, an agricultural project combined with a chronological Bible storying approach led to approximately 2,000 new church starts. An expatriate strategy coordinator worked with two media specialists, one a national and one an expatriate, to develop the biblical stories and the communication strategies. The stories were chosen and crafted with biblical accuracy to engage the people at their worldview, values, and beliefs level. The stories that were told in the villages were the same stories they heard through the FIBA radio broadcasts. The media specialist and FIBA provided taped recordings that served to improve the hearer's memory of the stories. The local Christian farmers who were trained in implementing vital agricultural and health technologies mentored other farmers even on large plantations. In using those technologies, they told the Bible stories in sequence in the evenings after the agriculture sessions. Those who demonstrated further interest in the Bible stories they heard were invited into Bible story listening groups focused on the radio broadcast. In the groups, they would hear the stories told again, but in those groups, they were organized to discuss the stories as they heard them. Later, the stories were also told face-to-face by those who became interested in the stories and who embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Again, the stories were circulated on audio cassette. It is important to understand that the stories heard on the radio, the stories told in the fields and villages, and the stories heard on the cassettes were the same stories. Thousands of believers have come from this wedding of agricultural, health, and storying technologies. As this church planting movement continues to escalate through these partner methods, the locals are now addressing aberrant doctrinal beliefs through stories. An independent evaluation of this situation revealed a situation where the lay pastors discipled and trained by oral methods maintained essentially correct doctrine, compared to more literate pastors in the same people group trained by literate means who exhibited syncretized doctrinal positions. This group dates its origin to a preacher who came in the 1760s. They had about 250 churches when the multiplication of churches began through a storying approach. Since they began storying, they have gone from a mathematical average of approximately one new church a year to approximately one new church a day. Another example of church planting using similar storying strategies comes from Romania. Expatriate church planting strategists with the Deaf were involved in a storying approach with associates in planting five Deaf churches. Those among the Romanian Deaf community who became believers through a storying approach in those five church plants went on to plant 20 more Deaf churches. They used the telling of their own testimonies in their heart language, Romanian Sign Language, coupled with chronological Bible storying. Deaf communities have many of the features that we've been talking about for oral communicators. In fact, a more comprehensive way of looking at what are called orality features is not that they are crucially or exclusively associated with what is spoken by mouth. They are instead a correlation of ways of processing that are common to face-to-face, highly relational societies. The correlation of ways of processing and communicating involve concrete rather than abstract notions, sequential rather than random expression of events, and relational as opposed to individualist contexts. Both oral cultures and deaf communities exhibit these characteristics because they are face-to-face, highly relational cultures. Throughout the world, deaf communities are being reached by chronological Bible storying methods. so there is reason to include them in this discussion. It is in some sense inaccurate to call the deaf oral communicators. Furthermore, they dislike the terms oral, orality, and oralism because they associate the terms with 19th and 20th century efforts to force the deaf to give up sign language and learn to speak. An account of oral storying strategies that were effective in leadership development comes from North Africa. There, 17 young men, many of whom could barely read and write, and some not at all, underwent a 2-year leader training program using chronological Bible storying. At the end of 2 years, students mastered approximately 135 biblical stories in their correct chronological order, spanning from Genesis to Revelation. They were able to tell the stories, sing from 1 to 5 songs for each story, and enact dramas about each of the stories. A seminary professor gave them a 6-hour oral exam. They demonstrated the ability to answer questions about both the facts and theology of the stories, and showed an excellent grasp of the gospel message, the nature of God, and their new life in Christ. The students quickly and skillfully referred to the stories to answer a variety of theological questions. Given a theological theme, they could accurately name multiple biblical stories in which that theme occurs. If asked, they could tell each story and elaborate on how it addressed the theme. The professor concluded that
the training process has successfully achieved its goals of enabling students to tell a large number of biblical stories accurately, to have a good understanding of those stories and the theology that they convey, and to have an eagerness to share the Christian message. The community received the stories and story songs enthusiastically and have made them part of the culture and church life alike. Various students acknowledged that they entered knowing little of the Old Testament, did not understand the relationship between God and Jesus, did not know the characteristics of God, did not know that God created the angelic beings, had not heard of being born again, and did not know that Christians should not seek help from local deities. Upon entering the program, these students were unable to communicate the Christian faith to other people, but by the time the training was over, they had dramatically improved their understanding of all these matters and many more.
The songs and stories became so popular that when the students returned to their villages, the local people eagerly gathered to learn the new songs and stories, and frequently sang the scripture songs and told the stories late into the night, sometimes even until dawn. These stories and case studies illustrate various aspects of reproducibility among relational narrative communicators, both among oral communicators and the deaf. One important aspect of this involves them telling the story of their own experience of coming to faith in Christ. Those from face-to-face societies readily testify to their personal, daily relationship with Christ. Testimony times and worship services in Western services are limited or non-existent. However, among oral communicators, testimony and prayer times may take up most of the service. When friends and neighbors hear these testimonies and see the change in the new converts' lives, they often want to follow the Jesus road. After they have come to Christ through a process of biblical revelation through stories, the discipler helps them learn an abridged story of the gospel message to use immediately. Disciplers then encourage them to give others the opportunity to hear the biblical stories they heard in order to consolidate their faith and give these new believers a biblical foundation. Multiple church planting and discipleship efforts from the United States to China now incorporate a My Story, Your Story, God's Story, Others' Stories approach. Discipling oral communicators involves identifying what the new believers need to know and do, and then communicating these truths using appropriate methods. These methods include modeling, telling a Bible story that communicates a truth, discussing it, perhaps memorizing a scripture related to the matter, and applying the truth together or individually. Their discipleship is shaped by the modeling of another believer and on-the-job training. This is most effective when the modeling is done by an in-culture or close-culture believer. Discipleship is not just what one does, but who one is, a new creature in Christ. Then we must help them understand that discipleship is primarily a matter of obedience to everything Jesus commanded and revealed in Scripture. Discipling involves having the disciple do all of the preceding, plus being held accountable to report back. This model of discipleship emphasizes accountability for application in two crucial dimensions, living it and sharing it with others. Oral learners, like all true followers of Jesus, need to practice what Scripture teaches and to pass along to others what they are learning. Oral communicators are more dependent on relationships in communication than literate learners are. For that reason, oral communicators tend to place a higher value on those relationships. They believe persons more than abstract truths. So the spiritual life and modeling of the messenger is crucial. Making disciples of oral communicators requires maintaining a loving relationship with the ones being discipled. Disciplers help oral communicators acquire biblical truth through appropriate oral means and guide them to obey it. Disciplers also teach them to win and disciple others, who will, in turn, disciple others. The new converts join existing churches or form new churches according to the situation. Discipling oral communicators should lead directly to church planting as new converts come together in covenant communities of believers to carry out the functions of the church. In many instances, these will be house churches that develop along lines of kinship and friendship. Disciples grow best when, from the beginning of their Christian experience, they take responsibility for evangelizing, nurturing new converts, establishing new works, and overseeing the development of their own converts. Providing orally based leader training for oral learners and equipping them to continue it within their people group is one of the great challenges facing the church. Those involved in rapidly growing church planting movements must disciple and equip leaders for the new churches as leaders are raised up by the Holy Spirit. If they do not, the expansion of the movement slows or ceases. A summarization of the storying approach from the CD series, Following Jesus, Making Disciples of Oral Learners, specifies a 10-step process toward making disciples of primary oral learners, with reproducibility as the important culminating step. Number 1. Identify the biblical principle that you want to communicate simply and clearly. Number 2. Evaluate the worldview issues of the chosen people group. Number 3. Consider worldview, the bridges, barriers, and gaps. Number 4. Select the biblical stories that are needed to communicate the biblical principle. Number 5. Plan the story and plan the dialogue that is going to follow the story, focusing on the task to be accomplished. Number 6. Communicate the story in a culturally appropriate way, using narrative, song, dance, object lessons, and other forms. Number 7. Apply the principle by facilitating dialogue with the group, helping them to discover the meaning and application of the story to their own lives. Number 8. Obey the discovered principle by implementation steps to be taken by the individuals. Number 9. Accountability. Establish accountability between group members by mutual and reciprocal commitments to implement the biblical principles in the conduct of their personal lives between members of the group, their families, and other personal relationships. Number 10. Reproduce. Encourage the group to reproduce the biblical principle, first by demonstrating the principle in their own witness of life, then in sharing the principle with others. Bible storying provides a way of engaging a people group that is not highly technological and can readily involve oral communicators in efforts to reach their own people group with the gospel. Storying is thus a reproducible, evangelistic, and church-planting approach. New believers can readily share the gospel, plant new churches, and disciple new believers in the same way that they themselves were reached and discipled. While a storying strategy seems to be one that is particularly appropriate with unreached people groups, many involved with people groups where there is an established church have found significant benefits to a chronological storying approach in those situations as well. The oral, chronological approach can fill major gaps that literate approaches to evangelism, discipling, church planting, and leadership development have over the decades missed.